The History of the Leech Lake Reservation with Elaine Fleming. Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Grant.
Wushu and Dinawe Magani Duk, Beshiku Benesia Kwe Indigo, Mong Indu Dame. My spirit name is One Thunderbird Woman, and I'm with the Loon Clan. I say hello to all my relatives. I'm really humbled, Dabasein Disuwin. I'm sit here with humility, and I'm going to share some of the history of the indigenous peoples of Turtle Island, and in particular about the Leech Lake Nation. And I just want to share that when I think about Leech Lake, I do not think of us as a reservation. I think of us as a nation. A nation has four components. One of them is that a nation has its own history. A nation has its own governance, its own culture and language, and also its own land base. A nation state like the United States of America does not have its own particular history. Its people does not have its own particular government, nor its own culture and language, or its own land base. The first peoples, the indigenous peoples who comprise nations, are the ones who have nations, are peoples of nations. And so what I want to begin by talking about is about demography, about numbers of peoples that originally inhabited this Turtle Island in 1500. I want to talk about demography. So what is demography? Demography is a composition of a particular human population. It is a study of statistics such as births, deaths, income, or the incidence of disease. Numbers of peoples on Turtle Island is a very highly political issue. For years in this country, the education system taught that there were very few people when the colonizers first arrived. The Anishinaabe experts, they minimized the size of the indigenous American numbers, and they also denigrated the level of socioeconomic attainment. And what does that mean, to denigrate the level of socioeconomic attainment? What they taught was that they created a myth to rationalize invasion and conquest of this continent. And their myth was that there were tiny, widely scattered bands of Stone Age hunter-gatherers. The myth said that we wandered nomadically and that we led a miserable hand-to-mouth existence. The myth said that the invading culture would bring a better way of life to the indigenous people of Turtle Island. And so they taught that in 1500, there were only 1 million indigenous peoples in Turtle Island. And this was taught by mainstream scholars. It was taught that this 1 million indigenous peoples was a peak level. But these primary colonial sources didn't take into account the epidemic diseases that reduced our numbers. They said that there were 1 million indigenous people in 1500, and they taught this as a fundamental truth. All around the world, people thought that there were very, very few indigenous people occupying this continent, and that we had really low socioeconomic attainment. In 1860, a man named Emmanuel H. Domenech, he came up with real numbers. And he said that in North America, that there were 16 to 17 million indigenous peoples. H.J. Spinden said there were 50 to 75 million indigenous people living in the Americas, based on burial mounds and other evidence. Henry F. Dobbins said there was a hemispheric estimate of 90 to 112 million indigenous people, with 12.5 million living north of the Rio Grande in 1500. These were real numbers. Based on the research of other experts, the Smithsonian Institute did a responsible revision. but that was questionable. And so they came up with a new number of the indigenous people in North America. And they said that in North America, they went from 1 million indigenous people in 1500 to 2,171,125 people. What I want to talk about is in the book, State of Native America, and the editor of that book is Emmanette Hamies. In that book, they talk about the many issues that indigenous people face across North America, including Leech Lake Nation. When the author talks about larger populations such as within the contiguous boundaries of the United States in 1500, that there were not 1 million people, but rather that there were anywhere from 12 million to 18 million indigenous people. Well, then what does it mean to have larger populations? It means that we were not able to have low socioeconomic attainment. Larger populations mean that we had extensive agriculture, not hunting and gathering solely. Two-thirds of all the foodstuffs in the world at that time came from this hemisphere, the Western Hemisphere. We had huge food storage facilities. Our populations were often sedentary, not nomadic. We had permanent towns. The Cahokia site had 40,000 indigenous people living there. And in Florida, they had at least 150 communities of 2,000 or more inhabitants. You know that if you have a community, if you have a city of 40,000 people, that they're not going to be wandering around living a miserly existence and gathering their foods. They had to have agriculture. At the time, too, we had a continental trade network. They say that the people, the Ojibwe of the north, that we were trading with people in South America. And in our legends, they talk about Nanabushu. In Nanabushu, the first people traveled all the way to the East Coast, down to the southern part of this United States, all the way to the West Coast and far into the North. We had an extensive trade route. So why was it important for the United States, the public system, and the government to teach that we had such low population numbers in 1500? Why is this number of 1 million so political? In the book by Emmanette Hamies, which she edited, she says, quote, "If this knowledge were to become popular, quote, it might serve to alter the sorts of power relations that have increasingly prevailed between Anishinaabe and whites over the past 200 years. This, the status quo, must avoid at all costs. Hence, the ongoing academic hegemony accorded low counters in their colleagues." So I consider this, and I think about power relations. Also in this book, Emmanette Hamies, she says that the purpose of the book and the many essays in State of Native America is to educate the population of the United States, the public, about our real issues, about our history, so that they can become knowledgeable. And then we might form partnerships, and that might change those power relations, such as our relationship right now with the experimental forest, the Chippewa National Forest, and who should really run that forest, who owns that forest. Knowing our history and having those relations are really important to changing our world. Miigwech. Miigwech for listening to me talk about demography, about the study of population of indigenous peoples. Chi miigwech. Ya e ha, he ha, he ha, ya e ha.